We have a take quake in the world of the National Football League.
Woo, buddy.
It comes from a man who has been around for quite some time. And we all just went, oh, huh? What? Oh, this ain't it, Mel Kiper Jr. Go eat some pumpkin pie.
Well, I grew up with the best of the National Football League, 60s, 70s, into the 80s. You're talking about deep shots, right? The go route, the nine route post. You're talking about Terry Bradshaw in a Super Bowl hitting John Stallworth. You see Leroy Irvin diving, right? Just off his fingertips, the receiver. They laid it out there, right? Hit the receiver in stride. 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay, check down kings, bubble screen sensations, boring football. Uh-uh. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica.
Yeah.
You
know,
you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts. You think about those quarterbacks who would throw the ball down the field. I'd say what Bradshaw did was Stallworth and Swan, Roger Staubach. That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a five-yard rule with the quarterbacks, right? The Mel Blount rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. Two, I couldn't even find us. And they're playing with nine guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two? They're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing, and we got to have, hey, you can warn them. Enough for, hey, come on. Hey, guys, you got to get up a little bit, right? You're too far back. Warn those safeties. But you got to figure out, competition committee, somebody, Dano, somebody's got to figure out what that depth is, but it's too far back right now. The NFL is being ruined by these too high safeties.
So, real quick, those eras of throwing the deep ball.
Yeah.
Cover two was there then, too.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, Tony Dungy made a great point on this because somebody gave Tony Dungy a ton of credit, like the Tampa 2, look at it. And he goes, I stole that from our playbook when I was a Pittsburgh Steeler. Like, in the 70s, like, we were running this.
Yeah, we were dropping linebacker. And the difference is the Tampa too, is you drop the mic deeper. It's not mind-blowing stuff here, and that somehow, you know, it's because of the proliferation of coverages is dictated, and the rules have dictated changes in the NFL.
Well,
it's not safeties.
He almost contradicts himself there towards the end where he says, I can't even see him on the film. What are they doing? They're so far out of the play. Well, so then what's the problem?
Yeah,
then how are they negatively
throw it underneath
things?
And well, get the big plays.
And here is where Mel Kiper Jr. completely misses the mark on all of this, is that we are seeing teams run the ball so much more volume-wise and effectively, because safeties are playing deeper. They are capping defense or offenses and sitting saying, we'll rally to everything underneath. Just we can handle that. We'll tackle in space. One of the reasons why the passing game isn't as explosive, even on the underneath stuff, though, is because linebackers in the NFL have gotten smaller. They've gotten smaller, they've gotten faster, they've gotten more bendy, and they are able to cover in space because all of those teams that he was talking about, all of those quarterbacks that were throwing deep against two high safeties and two cover two looks or quarters coverage, they were playing against linebackers who couldn't move, were wearing massive pads, and were matched up with a receiver one-on-one.
You're talking about like getting 285-pound Ray Lewis.
Fred Warner can move 53 and a third. He is a sideline-to-sideline middle linebacker in the NFL. Outside linebackers and edge rushers also. Edge rushers have gotten so much better.
Yeah.
Like Reggie White, he would translate to any era of football. But you know what? There are about four edge rushers on each team that would have been all pro in the 80s and 70s because these guys are 6'5", 285 pounds, and run a 4.640 and get off the line, pin their ears back, and they're not responsible for the run game. No. They're responsible for making the quarterback uncomfortable. That also leads to you don't take as many deep shots. When you do, you're throwing to a spot not the wide open receiver, not Lynn Swann running bare naked down the numbers. You're throwing to a spot, not a player now, because the pressure is way more intense. It comes relentlessly because guys are cycling in and out of rotations. The game is completely different, and that's why teams are running the ball more. They are running the ball more because it's what the defense is giving them. Is it as are you lighting up scoreboards? No, the over-unders are showing that across the NFL. I mean, you mentioned how crazy it was.
35.5
is an over-under in an NFL game in the year of our Lord 2024.
That's wild. If I told you that 5 years ago, you would be like, okay, it better be the two worst teams in the NFL with that are like going to combine for two total wins.
And right now, what we are seeing is head coaches, offensive coordinators, they don't care. They care about winning. They don't care about your fantasy numbers. They don't care about taking deep shots. Is that more exciting? Is it more fan-friendly? Absolutely it is. But the pendulum in football always swings back and forth. All they used to do is exclusively run the ball. And then
remember it was normal for a running back to get 30 carries a game?
And then you had Notre Dame rolled out, and they were like, you know what we're going to do? Newt Rockne said, let's throw the ball. And then you had guys like Norm Van Brocklin going to the NFL and whip the ball all over the field in the 50s. And then the pendulum swung back. You started running the football again, and you went back between the tackles. Then you had the West Coast offense came into the NFL, and that wasn't a bunch of deep shots. That was, we're going to take what the defense gives us, because team defenses were taking away the box so much. They were crowding the box and saying, we dare you to run the football. So the West Coast offense was an extension of a run game with a short passing game that could pick you apart based on your coverage. Then we saw defenses adjust to that. You started taking more deep shots downfield. Now defenses have adjusted, and they said, all right, we aren't going to allow the deep shot anymore. We're not going to have, you know, the funny numbers in multiple 5,000-yard passers. What we are going to do is we're going to keep everybody in front, and we're going to try to make your life a living hell. That is exactly how football has operated for decades.
Well, it's not even just football. It's all of sports. Yep. And that's what kind of torques me off about Mel Kiper and this take and takes of this ilk is that the whole point of sport is to try to adapt to what your opponent is giving you and letting you have. And it was like one of the things where, like in baseball, banning the shift and whatnot. It's like, you know what? You don't want the outfield to shift like that? Learn to hit the other damn way. Learn to hit the ball to the opposite field.
I think what we're looking at with baseball, too, I mean, Shohei Ohtani is on the cusp of 50-50 season. He's at 48 home runs, 49 stolen bases.
And there was a minor change to a bag.
By this...
Well, so what's next? Well, is Major League Baseball going to ban a player who can pitch and hit?
Well, it wasn't just the bag getting bigger. It was analytics shifted so far in the direction of doubles or home runs that there became more value in a stolen base. The value became higher of when you get a guy on base and you have a guy with plus speed to swipe that bag. The base being larger, the fact that you're limiting attempts on pickoff moves, yeah, that helped. That sure as heck helped a lot. But the reason why they made that move is because they want guys hitting for average again. You were out yesterday when we talked about this, but one of those graphics popped up of players who hit over 300. And back in 1980, there were 26 teams in baseball, and 24 of them. 24 of the teams had at least one player hitting over 300 in 1980. There were 43 players in Major League Baseball that hit over 300 in 1980. We have a week left in the regular season. There's only 8 guys in Major League Baseball hitting over 300.
And they're not exactly like flying over the 300.
No, it's because you're going for doubles and dingers at the plate, and pitching has gotten so damn good, and they throw so many arms at you over the course of the game.
And
it's gotten
you've
that
got
much
some
harder.
Arms that hit 105.
Well, guess what baseball is going to start doing now? You're going to start hitting for average again. because it's becoming more valuable. The numbers are saying it's becoming more valuable. If we can steal bases and we can get guys on base, then we can have our doubles in homer hitters, and there's going to be more of them.
And all of a sudden, you start seeing lineups again that start looking a lot like the 1998 Cleveland Indians.
But it is,
and it's going to be because the teams learn to adapt to the style of play and what things are changing, not because of a stupid rule change.
It's what the game is giving you now, and boy. Mel Kiper, he's whiffed on a couple of
The Vancouver Ford text line. Might be some truth to this, because the Dexter brings up that, remember, Kiper was the biggest proponent of Bryce Young. Did you see what he said about Bryce Young being sat down and blamed it wholly, basically, on the Panthers organization, and said Bryce wasn't to blame at all?
Well,
we did have that yesterday.
We played that audio yesterday. And he didn't. No, he did mention the limitations that Bryce Young has physically, but he was a big Bryce Young guy.
Yeah.
Big dime Bryce Young guy. But we talked about how two things can be true. Bryce Young has his physical limitations, and the Panthers let him down.
Yeah.
They didn't just let him down. They screwed him up.
Well, I saw LeBron James tweeted out in support of Bryce Young when he got benched that nothing that happened was your fault, basically.
Yeah.
You keep your head up, young king. And I'm just like,
well,
what the hell are we doing here?
We played Baker Mayfield's audio, and Baker... I loved what Baker Mayfield said about it, because Baker just said he's got everything is in front of him still.
Sure, yeah, no,
because he went through everything in Carolina, and Baker, I'm finding so much more respect for Baker Mayfield as time goes on. He has grown up over the years. He's come a long way from trying to outrun an overweight police officer in Arkansas, grabbing his junk against Kansas and planting a flag at Ohio State and the Cheesecake Factory parking lot. He's grown up a ton. He's grown up a ton. That's a long list.
I mean, it is.
And he got dragged for all
those. There's plenty of things you can, he has plenty of time.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on from the National Football League. That's a bad one. That's a bad take,
yeah.
Mel Kiper Jr. Teams will figure it out.
Atrocity.
He's definitely shaking his fist at the sky.
Yeah, he is.
It's like, come on, dude.
It's like me with cargo pants.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he's doing
right now. Slick the hair back and let's chill.
That's right.